This is the Fast Lane Podcast, powered by I Promise. Now, here's the Fast Lane.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Talk to the voice of the Blues right here on the home of the Blues, 101 ESPN, Chris Kerber. Kerbs, how you doing today?
Doing awesome, fellas. How are you guys today?
Doing really well. So let's reflect on last night's game. I had asked Jamie Rivers this in our previous segment. When you're calling the game last night, the offensive issues for the Blues specifically last night against the Sharks, more product of San Jose defensively or less or more about the Blues maybe not getting in front of the net enough?
No, I think that it is it's more about the Blues right now, to be honest with you. I don't think San Jose is that good of a defensive team. I realize I might be in the just extreme minority here, but as good of an offensive player as Erik Karlsson is, I don't think he's that good of a defensive player. So the way I look at it is we just haven't seen the hands on David Perron yet holding on to the puck in the offensive zone. So we haven't seen that line click very well just yet. Ryan O'Reilly seems to be kind of frustrated with the way the puck's coming off of his stick. You know, you almost never see him react by wanting to smack his stick against the glass like he did after the shootout attempt, you know? And so I just don't think that from an offensive standpoint that the top two lines have found their mojo yet. So I don't think it's really anything the other teams are doing defensively. I just don't think our guys are quite fully geared up yet. And I think that's a result of the fact that, you know, it's a 2-week camp and then you're playing games and you've only played 4 games with them. So you know with those guys, it's going to come. I just don't think it's there yet.
Kerbs, Jordan Binnington had himself a great night last night. And, you know, maybe contrary to some Blues fans, I've said that I thought he's played relatively well. In fact, I thought he's played very well throughout this season. A lot of those goals that have been given up were power play opportunities for the opposition, and we know the penalty kill until last night hasn't been clicking, not the right way. But yeah, last night, circling back to Jordan Binnington, he had himself a great night, and it's my belief that he saved a point for the St. Louis Blues last night.
I think Jordan Binnington has been fantastic this season. In 4 games, you've only given up 6 even strength goals. So I have zero issues with what you're seeing from Jordan Binnington. The team in front of him kind of hung him out to dry in that game against Colorado. Otherwise, numbers are going to look a whole lot better. But he's kept his team in it. He was fantastic again last night. And the goaltending has to be. I mean, this is you need those guys to stop the pucks and a few that maybe they shouldn't stop, while you're trying to figure out, you know, how new players like a Krug and like a Hoffman and some others are going to gel, or some new combinations, even if it's not new players. I think Jordan Binnington has been just fine and maybe the Blues' best player game in, game out since day one.
Kerbs, we've all been screaming from the mountaintops about how good the power play is going to be. When does that mojo come?
Yeah, I don't know. No idea.
If Chief will have you listen to this one, so if Kerbs got the answers,
what are you
be writing
seeing
them down.
In it though? Like that's the thing, because we know the pieces are there. Like so what is missing currently?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that anything's missing. I think just some time. I really do. I think, you know, when I look at how San Jose killed, if the Blues put a pass on somebody's backhand, it was almost like that was their read. Like they would take two. They were already tight on you. But if it came to your backhand and they knew you had to go to your forehand, they closed that gap in a real hurry and put pressure on. And the Blues just weren't able to one-touch the puck through the box, down the wing, or do something to relieve some of the pressure and create a little bit of space that would cause San Jose to have to collapse their box back to regroup, right? And so because of the way the Blues were handling the puck, I think it played into San Jose's penalty killing. And I think both Colorado and San Jose have had very similar penalty kills in terms of their aggressiveness. I don't know that you'll see the same from Los Angeles over the weekend, and I don't think you'll see the same from Anaheim when the Blues head out there. But having said that, I think it gives you a real good idea, though, of what types of penalty kills the Blues may struggle against. So part of it for me is that it's just a cleaner with the puck. It's making quicker decisions. And, you know, we haven't seen enough one-time opportunity. The other aspect to me is if you've got a team that's putting that kind of pressure on you, you have got to put the puck in somebody's wheelhouse where they can one-time it. And because those are shots that are really hard to adjust to real quick for me. So it's the same as the penalty kill. There's enough talent on this team. It's just a matter of some time before it starts to gel. But the reality of it is, guys, is a Craig Berube team, at least in the 2.5 years we can speak of a Craig Berube team, to me, the success of that team is their 5-on-5. And I think they've been pretty solid 5-on-5. They've outscored the opposition 5-on-5. The problem is they haven't been able to stay out of the penalty box to keep it 5-on-5. And so that's more of the bigger issue. So, for me, it's a matter of just timing for them to be able to get into some kind of rhythm on the special teams. But more importantly, you have to hope we start to see a lot less special teams.
Curbs, you mentioned talent, and Jordan Kyrou has certainly displayed a lot of talent in the early going here. Picks up another point last night with an assist. What are your thoughts thus far on Jordan Kyrou and just his transformation as we're watching this young player grow and mature?
You know, there's two things. I think, number one, he listened to the coaching staff or management, whoever talked to him this offseason, about what they expected from him. And he came in ready to go. He came in better shape. He came in with a few more pounds on him to be able to handle the weight of the National Hockey League. And then he came in with the willingness and the attitude to learn about the little parts of the game. You know, everybody was, 2 games ago, the goal he scored was fantastic. It proved to be the game-winning goal, which was great. His best play, and I think I may sound like Ken Hitchcock here, but his best play might have been that back check in the third period where he stripped the guy of the puck at the hash marks coming down the near wing, the penalty box wing. So that, and the reason I say that is it showed one, how he can use his speed to defend, and two, his willingness to now do it. There's a much greater awareness of him and effort on that detailed side of the game, which is good. Number two for me is when you listen to him talk and answer questions about it, he sounds more confident. He's saying more of the right things. And to me, that means that the mind is connecting with what you need to do with the body in the games. And so far, Craig Berube told us yesterday, he goes, yeah, okay, he played a good game, but he's still turning the puck over too much. So sometimes there's never completely pleasing the coach, but you've got to like what you've seen, at least through these first 4 games, with just how he's using his skills and now starting to use his head.
Yeah, look, coaches are always like that, right, Curbs? Especially with the young guys. Yeah, you did great, but because you got to kind of keep them in check. But for me, the tell is he played over 15 minutes of ice time for Jordan Kyrou shows Craig Berube's confident in him, which is a great sign. And another young player that I thought played very confident last night, and I've gotten a lot of questions about today, is Nico Mikkola. I mean, this young man stepped on, and we were talking about a couple minutes ago, no real training camp, kind of, sort of, no preseason games, no regular season games yet this season, and he steps in and plays what I thought was a fantastic game, and heck, he played 4 minutes and 59 seconds on the penalty kill, which for the first time of the season was perfect, so I was very impressed. What are your thoughts on the young man?
He was fantastic. Bill Armstrong told us a couple of years ago at the beginning of the season when Joey and I asked Bill about him, he used the word kerfluffle. He goes, oh, I love that kid. He's like a dog on a bone. And they were so high on him, but it's sort of like anytime he touched the puck, pretty much anything could happen. I mean, he could chuck it into the stands. He could shoot it up the ice. A glove might go one way. A stick might go the other way. Or he might just leave the puck and go hit somebody. I mean, it was one of those kind of descriptions. So he's developed very well over the last 2 years since we had that conversation about him. And then he's put himself knocking on the door where he was part of the taxi squad. Then all of a sudden you get a couple of injuries. You get Bortuzzo out. You get Scandell out. And you're really using that depth. And to your point, I thought he played really well. He made a couple of just real smart, simple plays. He was in the neutral zone right in front of the penalty boxes. He looked to the left to make a pass. There wasn't anything there. He saw part of his teammates changing. All he did was flip it into the zone. And I know that may sound like boring hockey to a lot of people, but if you're a coach, you're looking at that going, okay, that's a 24-year-old defenseman in his 6th career National Hockey League game that just made the right decision. And that tells you something. So the other challenge you had, and you're right, 4+ minutes of penalty kill time. You know, at one point in time, you've got Carl Gunnarsson in the box, and then Colton Parayko just manhandled 2 San Jose Sharks and got that holding penalty. You know, it's funny. We didn't see it at first. Then we watched the replay and just started laughing. I mean, it was a hold. It was a headlock. It could have been about 6 different things, and he hauled them both down. But those two guys were in the box. And Torrey Krug had gone down the runway to because he'd gotten hurt. Man, we didn't think we were going to see him coming back. And Vince Dunn, for whatever reason, Craig Berube just doesn't have him killing penalties. So there were San Jose last night had over nine. That was like 9.5 minutes of total power play time. Vince Dunn killed, I think, a total of, 8 seconds of it, which means at one point in time, with two defensemen in the box, it was basically up to Falk and Mikula to help kind of kill that the rest of those penalties. I mean, they did a fantastic job. Gunnarsson came out of the box, kind of helped smooth that over. You know, and so I think Nico Mikula played a terrific game last night. I agree with you.
Curbs, great stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll be tuned in over the weekend as the Blues try to get back on the right track following last night's loss. Thank you.
You got it, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you. The voice of the Blues here on the Blues Radio Network, 101 ESPN. Bet the Board is next in the Fast Lane.
You've been listening to the Fast Lane Podcast, powered by iPromise.